ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn.
Oh, yeah. It's time to talk movies and more with Pass the Popcorn. We welcome in our friend Alan Adams, who joins us via the telephone. Jam up and jelly tight in that difficult Orono traffic. Hello, Al.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Man, you can't get off that campus this time of day.
Man, I tell you what, I had a frankly very productive meeting. It's the sort of thing where it's like, if you get delayed for something that could clearly have been an email, you're going to get all irritated about it. But no, this was a very productive meeting, a very useful meeting. But it does mean that we are running just far enough behind where I can't make my way to join you in the studio in the first day of the post Haskell era. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I was saying it was weird because when I came in this afternoon, Carrie was here and was in his office. So it's he was there if I needed him at the last minute, but then he left and he looked over his shoulder like, this seems wrong, but I'm leaving anyway.
Oh, too funny. How'd you guys weather the storm?
We made out okay. No damage. We didn't lose power. We lost a sunflower in the backyard, but we can rebuild. How about you guys?
We actually did okay. Surprisingly so. We've got a couple of trees out here that are of questionable sturdiness at this point.
Mm.
And so we were a little worried that was gonna come up and bite us. But no, everything with the exception of a couple of smaller branches in the backyard, like we're actually looking pretty good.
Well, good. How about your in-laws? How do they make out?
Yeah, it's funny. They we were a little worried about them. We didn't hear a ton from them over the course of the day. And then yesterday we get a call from them asking how to find the Sunday night football game on their TV setup. So it's like, okay, well, clearly everything is all right. Everyone seems to have done okay. Like, I mean, we never lost power or anything. It didn't even flicker. Like we really made out okay.
Yeah, we were ready. You know, we had the flashlights and the batteries and the candles and the bad food. We like to get some.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the whole deal, right?
Right. You got to have some good storm food.
It's an excuse to eat like a 5-year-old and not feel bad about it.
And can you do that now? What's the status of the kitchen?
Oh well, here you go. We are it's been such a long time. It's you're hesitant to be like, oh, we're almost there, but man, we are waiting on Friday. We are going to get our countertops and our Ooh. Kitchen sink. Like those are going in on Friday morning.
Wow.
So by the end of this coming weekend, we should be back to something resembling full functionality in our kitchen.
That is very exciting. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Looking forward to seeing it when it's all put together. Did you see any movies since last we spoke?
We did see, I saw a couple of things. We did not get out to the movie theater, which is kind of a bummer because I was actually kind of looking forward to checking out, Kenneth Branagh's latest turn as Hercule Poirot in A Haunting in Venice. Didn't get out that way, but that's okay. We still managed to enjoy some movie time in the comfort of our home. In fact, that's how we spent a lot of our rainy Saturday was watching some stuff on the old TV. So the new movie that we saw, a lovely romantic comedy on Netflix called Love at First Sight, based upon the novel The Statistical Probability of Love at First Sight. It stars Haley Lou Richardson, Ben Hardy, Jameela Jamil is in this, and Rob Delaney, a really good cast. But yeah, it's basically this really interesting conceit where a young woman who's on her way to London for her father's wedding misses her flight and so has to take a second flight. Meanwhile, a young man named Oliver, that's the role played by Ben Hardy, is heading home to England for reasons that we do not learn until a little bit later in the film. But their paths cross in the airport. They wind up sharing a meal, sharing a conversation, and then due to the fanciful machinations of the universe at work, wind up sitting together on the plane, where they promptly fall in love, as people tend to do in these sorts of movies. However, once they get to the airport, they have to go in separate lines. She's American, he's English. They go, they get separated. Her phone breaks, because of course it does, and so they can't find, they can't connect. And so, well, they're left wondering, well, was this just a moment in time, or can we move forward? And well, it's a rom-com on Netflix, Rich, so you could probably work out that that's not the end of the story necessarily. But that's as far as I'm going to go plot-wise. It's a very sweet movie, and we've talked numerous times about how easily manipulated I am emotionally. This movie does a good job of pushing those buttons without necessarily making me feel too resentful about having those buttons pushed, which is a fine line to walk. It's interesting. There's an interesting framing device conceit here that I actually quite like. I mentioned Jamila Jamil. She is basically she's our narrator / omniscient observer type, and so she pops up multiple times in the movie, playing different characters, sort of steering these people along their paths. It's a little on the nose, but when we meet her, she's reading a copy of A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it's like, okay, so like, okay, you're clearly some sort of puck analog. You are steering the fates of these mortals toward one another. But yeah, it's very sweet. It's a nice short watch. It's about an hour and a half long. It gives it hits all the high points that you want from a rom com. You get some laughs. There are a couple of tears that get shed along the way, and it's just it was just a really sweet movie going experience. I had pretty low expectations for it, but it actually turned out to be pretty good.
All right, that's the story of a love at first sight. What else did you check out from the comfort of your own home?
Oh man, so these have both been around for a bit. The movie just came to Hulu, and it got a very limited theatrical release, so I'm guessing that not a lot of people have seen it. But we'll get back to that one in just a second, because I just need to make mention of this. Rich, have you watched Jury Duty?
No, I haven't. But I've heard good things about it, though.
The show on Freevee, which is a thing that exists. in case you were wondering. I tell you what, man, Sheridan and I had been talking about watching it for a while, and we're like, you know what, it's a rainy day, we don't really have anything else going on, let's see what this is about. Rich, it's 8 half-hour episodes. We watched the entire GD thing, and basically, we took a brief break in the middle, but yeah, we watched the entire thing on Saturday.
Well, must be pretty good, then.
It's delightful. It's one of those sort of lightning in a bottle kinds of viewing experiences where you're like, this is such a great idea, it'll never work again. Because for those who are, those listening who are unfamiliar, Jury Duty is basically it's, I don't know how you describe it. It's basically set up as a mockumentary following, the process of a jury trial. But the catch for this is, everyone involved is an actor. The judge, the lawyers, the plaintiff, the defendant, all the members of the jury, except for one dude. This one dude named Ronald, who is completely unaware that this is all fake. And so we basically watch as this guy, is confronted by more and more weirdness and the general complexities of a courtroom. Obviously accentuated somewhat by the fact that it's fictionalized, and so these people have a little bit more free reign. Among the incredibly talented jurors, who all of whom give great performances, a standout is James Marsden, the actor, playing James Marsden, the actor. and just sort of this heightened kind of, you know, kind of arrogant, like jerkwad version of himself. He's awesome. He's so good. Like, everybody's so good. And we watch as this guy is just an absolute stand-up dude the entire time. Because that's the thing. Like, with a show like this, like, it's such a tightrope walk because, you know, all that needs to happen is your lead guy turns out to be, like, you know, a bad person or just, like, has questionable ideas or beliefs or is problematic in some way, and then it all falls apart. But that never happens because they managed to land like a genuinely good dude. And so it just makes everything that you're watching that much more entertaining because he's trying so hard to do the right thing, like throughout, like with all the obstacles put in front of him. So yeah, again, Jury Duty, you got to watch it. It was really a delightful time. I think it's got 4 Emmy nominations, and to my mind, it deserves every one of them.
All right, I just have to find Freevee now.
If you've got the Amazon Prime, you should be able to.
Oh, okay.
I believe Freevee is an Amazon joint. Freevee, formerly known as IMDb TV. It's all very complicated.
Excellent. I'll track it down somewhere on my Roku TV. I'm sure I can find. Yet another app.
Yeah, if you got the Roku, you'll be able to find the free.
Giddy up! All right, and what about the Hulu film?
Oh, actually, I'm glad I'm going to get a chance to talk to you about this, Rich, because I feel like there's a good chance this movie will resonate with you. So we watched a movie called Theater Camp.
Oh, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Directed by Molly Gordon and Nick Lieberman. From a screenplay that they co-wrote with Noah Galvin and Ben Platt, and it's just this—it's just a movie, again, mockumentary style, about a theater camp in the Adirondacks. It's actually called Adirondacks, ACTS, and you've got a woman who's devoted her life to running this camp. Right at the very top of the film, there's an incident, and so it's the camp is left rudderless. Her son Troy, played wonderfully by Jimmy Tatro, has to come and take over. He's a business finance bro. He has very little interest in his mom's artistic leanings, but he's trying to do right. Meanwhile, you've got 2 longtime counselors who have come back. Amos, played by Ben Platt, and Rebecca Diane, played by Molly Gordon, and they are basically putting together this season for these kids at a theater camp. And again, like I love the idea of theater camp. Like I was a later in life discoverer of my love of the theater, and so I never went to any of these places. But it's like watching these kids. It's like, oh yes, I have encountered these kids along the way, if that makes sense. Like just the passion, the excitement, the joy that comes from young people doing theater, even if they are doing, you know, ostensibly ridiculous productions. Like it's, you know, on the one hand, it's like, oh yeah, no, like Damn Yankees. I could see kids at a summer camp doing Damn Yankees. That makes sense. But then they trot out like the Crucible Junior, and I'm like, I don't know if that's a thing. I want it to be a thing. I would watch the crap out of a production of The Crucible Junior. But yes, and as is often the case with these sorts of films, the camp is suffering through some issues, and there's some fear about what's going to happen in the future, both in terms of the camp itself and for the counselors who have devoted their lives to it. And it's just a really lovely look at the sorts of people who just love theater and bringing that love to the younger generation.
Well, I'm looking at the cast list and the fact that it has Amy Sedaris, that's enough to get me hooked. And then a couple of the folks who are also cast members in The Bear.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, because Molly Gordon and Ayo Edebiri are both in The Bear, and I think like. One gets the impression, and I haven't dug too deeply into this because I don't want to be disabused of this notion, But I feel like they're all, like, all of the people involved in this film are, like, longtime friends. Like, they've sort of developed this relationship. I will say there are some sort of home movie type shots of young people, like, at, doing stuff at this camp. And there are a lot of those, a lot of that footage is of a young Ben Platt and a young Molly Gordon who went to theater camp together as children.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So it's like they have that connection. And so, like, it's obviously a passion project that they really felt very was meaningful to them to produce and all of that. And so, again, if you've ever been a young thespian, if you've got any young thespians in your life, you really should check this movie out, because it's really, it really is just a lovely and sweet, film experience.
You got me. I'm hooked already. I can't wait to see it. And you said that's on Hulu.
It is on Hulu. Yes.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Alan. That's some impressive work done for never having left your couch.
Yeah, no, we did not. The only time I left at any point on Saturday was to go to the store because I wanted a candy bar, and I went and got a candy bar. Because, again, I'm an adult, and I get to choose what that means, Rich.
You're darn right. And look, the traffic you're dealing with this afternoon, a reminder that you were wise to just stay right where you were.
Yes, I made the right choice. We made the right choice. We hung out with our dog and our two cats, and we basically just, like, we just, all five of us shared the couch for the entire afternoon, you know, ate some soup, you know, ate some pizza, and just and lived it up.
Nobody ever regrets that decision. That's awesome.
Right.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Al. Hope you get home safely. Hope the rest of your week goes well. And we'll cross our fingers to hopefully see you in person next week.
Yes, for sure. Oh, and just for those who are wondering, as things stand right now, Stella and I are both 8-6 for week two.
Ooh.
So we got two Monday night games to determine who the weekly winner is. Although I think, I think we all know how that's probably going to play out.
Did you both agree on tonight's games?
On one, but I've got the Steelers, she's got the Browns. So that's going to make or break the winner for week two. So I've, like I said, I picked the Steelers. So congratulations to Cleveland fans.
And a reminder, too, you can always see what Alan and Stella think of the game's kibbles and picks right here on the new home, the Downtown with Rich Kimble website, always posted before the Thursday night game. So you can check that out and see what Alan and his slightly more knowledgeable dog, Stella, think of the docket of the NFL. Thanks, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
You got it. We'll catch you next week.